And now we turn to our gospel reading for today, and that will come from the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Again, I always preach on something that we read this past week in our daily reading. Today we're going to go to Mark chapter 14, and I am going to read verses 26 through 31. Gospel of Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 31. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And again, if you do not have your own Bible with you today, feel free to use a Pew Bible. Again, I read out of an NIV. Pew Bible is going to be King James. It's going to be a little bit different, but it's still the same word of God. God's word says this, beginning in verse 26. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You will all fall away, Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, conversation that happens right before your son Jesus is taken and betrayed by Judas and taken away to be crucified. And Father, this morning, I just want to expound on not only the words of Jesus, but the actions of Peter. And that's what we're going to look at here this morning, Lord. And today, Lord, I just want you to fill us with whatever transformation we need. What we can learn from the Apostle Peter, from all these different scripture verses, and in turn, we become more Christ-like. So, Father, we're just going to trust you that that will happen because of the scriptures that we just read. We give you all the glory and praise. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. So, the title of this morning's message is, and it might be a little misleading, but I called it Enough of Peter. And if you say that in a certain way, you could say this, well, enough of Peter. Well, that's kind of not the way I'm going to look at it here this morning. But we're going to look at a whole lot of different aspects of the Apostle Peter. And you got a whole bunch of fill in the blanks in the bulletin here this morning. And we're going to fill out each one of those words and look at different characteristics of the Apostle Peter. And maybe we'll see ourselves in there somewhere. But, you know, if we read our Bibles, everywhere from the beginning of Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation 22, we read about men and women who had parts of their lives forever etched in the pages of this book, forever to be remembered. And we will remember them forever because they're etched in there. We read about their successes and we read about their failures. And if you're like me, sometimes you just might have the urge to say, well, you know, if that was me, I would have never done that. If that was me, I would have never said that. Oh, really? We don't know how we would have acted had we been in some of those situations. And some of us might even go as far as saying this. You know, if I was Adam or if I was Eve, there would have never been a fall of mankind. Trust me. If you were Adam or you were Eve, there would have been a fall of mankind. Trust me. There would have been. That's just what would have happened. 12 names are etched in the pages of Scripture that the 12 men that Jesus chose to be his closest disciples. And who did he choose? And I'm not going to go over the names. Did he choose the rich? Did he choose the wise? Did he choose the religious? Did he choose the educated? Did he choose the popular? Did he choose any of those? Not really. He chose 12 ordinary men. And one such man in the Bible, His name is etched within these pages. And he was chosen for this position. And his name is Peter. And this morning, I want to take a closer look at all the different faces of Peter. Different aspects of him. Different characteristics of him. I want to do that because as I look around the sanctuary here this morning, and even look at myself, I see a room full of ordinary people. We're all ordinary people. We are no different than Peter or James or John or any of the others. And we're walking this Christian journey with successes some days and some days with failures, just like Paul. And then sometimes moments in between. And it's good to know a lot of things about Peter because sometimes Peter looks just like us. Or maybe should I say, maybe sometimes we look just like Peter. And I'm going to go through a list here, and it's the same list you have in your bulletins. I want us to remember this, and this is really going to be the thrust of the message, that if Jesus can use a man like Peter with all these different traits that we're going to list up here, if he can use Peter, then he can use who? He can use us. He can use us. So what do we know about this man, Peter? Well, we only know what the Bible tells us. So we know this. We know that his real name is Simon. We know that from John chapter 1, verse 42. So his real name is Simon. Jesus also calls him Cephas sometimes, which means Peter, which means rock. So, you know, sometimes he's Simon, sometimes he's Peter, sometimes he's Cephas, and sometimes Jesus even called him, get behind me, Satan. Okay, so he goes by many names, actually. So he was called to be a disciple by Jesus. We find that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus chose him. Peter did not choose Jesus. Jesus chose him. We know that from John chapter 6, verse 70. Of all the listings of the, and we find this in the Synoptic Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a listing of who all the 12 disciples are. You know who the first name is each time? Peter. Who's the last name in each one of the lists? Judas. Judas. Peter's always number one. Judas is always number 12. Out of the 12 disciples, he was one of the three inner circle disciples, we call that, along with James and John. We see this in Matthew 17:1, where it was the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took three disciples up there, the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. When he was in the garden praying, he took three disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. And when he went to heal the daughter of Jairus, he took three disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. So he was part of the inner circle. So we have a bunch of fill in the blanks, and let's kind of go through these quickly. Let's look at all the different characteristics of the apostle Peter, and let's see what we can learn about him, and maybe learn a little bit about something about ourselves. Number one, it begins with the word F. Peter had faith enough. He had faith enough because in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, and I'm not going to go back and read all these scriptures. I'll give you a hint. Jesus is out walking on the water, and he tells Peter to do what? Hey, come on out, Peter. Come on out. And we know that Peter had enough faith to get out on the water and walk. But what happens when you take your eyes off of Jesus? You sink. You sink. But at least for some time, Peter had faith enough to take a walk out on that water, and he did. So we know this. Your faith will never be tested unless you get out of the boat. Hey, there's a sermon there somewhere. Your faith is never tested until you get out of the boat. That'll be one of these weeks. A good one. Write that down, Gail, so I remember that. Okay. Hey, or maybe I can just listen to my own recording. All right, let's look at number two. I said we'll get through these quickly. Number two, he knew enough about himself. What do I mean he knew enough about himself? In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus is in the boat with him, and I believe it's the incident where Jesus calms the sea by just speaking to the waves, and all of a sudden the winds start calm, the waves get calm, and Peter says this, "Lord, away from me. I am a sinful man. Peter knew enough about himself to know that he was in the presence of God, but he knew enough about himself to say, a sinful man does not need to be in your presence. But Peter knew enough about himself, enough to say, Lord, I am a sinful man. Number three, what else? Peter was transformed enough. The great confession. We know, we always hear about the Great Commission, go and make disciples, Matthew 28. But the great confession found in Matthew 16. Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Jesus says, and I'm sure he pointed his finger, who do you say that I am? And who was the spokesperson for the disciples? Of course, it was Peter. And Peter says this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says this, Peter, there's only one way you could say that. Is that because the Father has put that in you? You'd never be able to say that on your own. You have been transformed, Peter. So he said that he was the Son of the living God. Peter was transformed enough to know who Jesus is at that time. So he had enough faith. He knew enough about himself. He was transformed enough. And then he was prideful enough. So let's look at this one. Prideful enough. John chapter 13, verse number 8. John, beginning of John chapter 13, Jesus, it's the Last Supper. They're getting ready for the Last Supper. And the first thing Jesus does, he gets done and he washes all of the feet of the disciples, including Judas. But when he gets to Peter, Peter says what? Not me. Not Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus, in so many words, says, well, he says this. Well, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part in me. So Peter had a little bit of pride there for a while. No, Jesus, you're not going to do this. And it's like Jesus said, Peter, come on, get a grip on yourself. If I don't do this, you have no part of me. Of which Peter replied, then Lord, not just my feet, all of me. So, but Peter did have enough pride there for a second that he was not going to allow Jesus to wash his feet. The next one. Peter was outspoken. I'll just stop right. Do any of these look like you at the present time? Not that I purposely stopped on outspoken for any particular reason, but he was outspoken enough because getting back to the great confession, Peter says this, great word. He says, Lord, you are the Son of the living God. And then he says, great, you know, the Father revealed this to you. But then if you go a little bit later on in those same verses, verse 23, he says this. Jesus says, you know, I'm going to be taken away. I'm going to be killed by the religious leaders. Jesus says this. And Peter says, that ain't going to happen. Jesus, that's not going to happen. No one's taking you to a cross. No one's ever going to kill you. Of course, at that time, he was not only Peter. He was not only Simon. He was not only Cephas. But at this time, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You know, if it wasn't bad enough, he had already had three names. Jesus had to give him a fourth one. Get behind me, Satan. He was outspoken enough to tell the Savior of the world that you're not going to the cross. So he was a little outspoken. Let's move to the next one. He was inquisitive enough. Inquisitive. If we go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, somewhere around there. I know I've covered this before. It was Jewish custom to say that you forgive a person up to three times. Up to three times. But Peter was inquisitive enough because he wanted to be maybe a little bit better than the rest of his fellow Jews. Lord, how many times should I forgive another person? Up to seven times? Up to seven times? Peter was inquisitive enough that at least he wanted to know what the right answer was for his question. And of course, he got an answer that he was not expecting. Jesus says, oh, Peter, not just seven times, but seven times, 70 times. In other words, you just keep on forgiving, you keep on forgiving, you keep on forgiving. So he was inquisitive enough, and I believe that gets us already halfway through our list. And here's another word that begins with the letter I. Tough worder. Impetuous. Well, Mike, I never heard that word before. What does that mean? If a person is impetuous, they act without thinking. Now, that's certainly none of us. Now, is it? We act without thinking. So when was Peter impetuous? He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. We know this. Jesus' clothes were transformed. He became white as snow. And Peter, and he was in a cloud, he probably didn't know what to do. So he acted without thinking. What did he do? Lord, should we build some tents here? You know, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. So he was impetuous. He acted without thinking. Can that get us into trouble? Maybe. I only heard one person laugh, and that meant, yes, we can. Yeah, impetuous. Sometimes be careful when we're impetuous. It can get us into trouble. The next one, B, brash. Oh, there's a good word, brash. Matthew 26:33. I believe we just read that one. Actually, we read the same one in Mark, but this is out of Matthew. Jesus says this. Come on out to the garden, and you know what? The shepherd's going to be struck, and all the sheep are going to be scattered. And Peter says, oh, no. Maybe those other 11 guys will do that, but not me, Lord. No, not me. He was brash enough to say that Scripture, Lord, is not going to be fulfilled. It's not going to be fulfilled. Those other guys, they might run away, but not me. And Jesus even says that this must happen for Scripture to be fulfilled. And there's Peter saying, oh, no, it's not going to happen. So he was brash enough to be able to say something like that right to his Lord and Savior. And now we get into another interesting one here. V, he was volatile enough. So let's continue this garden experience. He's in the garden. Here comes Judas. He comes on up. He betrays Jesus with a kiss, and there's all kinds of commotion going on, and Peter takes a sword, and he cuts off the ear of one of the servants, whose name was Malchus, by the way, and we can read that in John chapter 18, verse 10. He was volatile enough. He was going to stand up for his Savior. He just snapped just like that, and he just went right into action. He just grabbed that sword, and he just went right to it. I guess volatile enough kind of goes a little bit with impetuous enough. He just acted without thinking, and he took up a sword. But he was going to defend his Savior, but then Jesus comes right back and says what? Lord, Peter, if you live by the sword, you'll what? You'll die by the sword. Peter, put the sword away. Put the sword away. You don't have to be that volatile. No, don't do that. Let's not do this. Next, we go from one extreme to the other. And these are in no particular order. He was cowardly enough. He was cowardly enough. Mark chapter 14, verses 68, 69, and 71. A little bit later on in the chapter we just read. There's Jesus. He's been taken away. He's at the house of the high priest. He's being interrogated. And Peter's out there warming up his hands. And a servant girl and others come up to him and say, you are one of those guys, aren't you? You're one of those Galileans. I can tell you speak with one of those Galilean accents. It must be one of you. You knew this man, Jesus, didn't you? And Peter, three times, does what? I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Twice. I don't know the man. Three times. He just walked with the man 3.5 years. But yet, he was so cowardly that when the pressure was on, he choked. A few moments earlier, a few hours earlier, he picks up a sword and chops off the ear of one of the servants. And now, he's embarrassed to say that he even knows the man. The next one. He was cowardly enough. Interesting one. He was remorseful enough. He was remorseful enough. Actually, I'm going to back up. You can still write that down. Let me go over a few things here first before I get into remorseful. Let's just look at these 10. Do any of these characteristics fit you? Maybe one or two, maybe five or six, maybe nine or 10. And Micah depends on when it is, where I'm at, that I, you know, maybe I can get volatile, or maybe sometimes I'm even cowardly. Let's kind of go through them here. Are we, in no particular order again, Peter was prideful enough. Are we proud? Can we be proud as individuals? Can we be proud as Christians? Lord, I don't need you. I don't need you because I can take care of myself. This is just a small matter, Lord. Don't worry about it. When I get to the big stuff, I'll give you a call. But for right now, it's just a little bitty thing. I got this, Lord. Don't need you. Sometimes are we proudful enough to say something like that? How about this? Brash enough. Are we brash enough? Lord, I will. I will always stand up. I will always stand up for you. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what the situation is. You know what? I have so much of you inside of me. The Holy Spirit, man, Holy Spirit just wants to do something with me here today. Until you get to the restaurant and you want to pray in public and you, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Oh, but any other time, oh, you're going to stand up for Jesus now, aren't you? How about outspoken? Are you outspoken enough? Lord, I got a situation here, and I need your help. But let me tell you how you need to get it done, okay? You can help me. You can help me as long as you help me the way I want you to help me. Because, see, here's the end result that I want. So I'm going to be outspoken enough to tell you how I want you to do it. I just can't figure it out myself. But here's where I'm at. Here's where I need to be. Lord, you fill in the blanks, and I'll just follow along. When sometimes the Lord wants to take you through paths B, C, D, E, and F before you ever get there. Sometimes we are outspoken. How about impetuous? Impetuous. Lord, I got to do something, and I got to do it now. I got to do it now. I want it now. I got to have it now. Lord, I know I should have prayed for this 2 weeks ago. I knew about it 2 weeks ago, but here it is. It's right here, right now. So, Lord, we act without thinking. In this case, we didn't act at all, but now we are at crunch time. Lord, you got to do this. Lord, you know, Lord, I only got 30 seconds left. You better hurry up and show up here right now. Are we impetuous enough sometimes that we do that? Volatile. And this one's kind of like, and some of these overlap, I understand that. Lord, I will fight in your name, regardless of the situation. Regardless, I will fight in your name, whatever it is. Yeah, that march up at D.C. for where all those Christians are going to stand, we're going to all be anti-abortion. Of course, I'll be right there with you. You know, I'll be right there. Are we volatile enough that we'll go on up there and maybe, can we get overzealous standing up for the Lord? Yeah, sometimes we like to be Bible thumpers, but sometimes we just thump this thing a little bit too tough when we should be a little bit more gentle with it instead of being volatile. How about inquisitive? Are we inquisitive? Or do we know it all? Lord, you know, I really don't understand why this had to happen. Would you take some time to explain it to me? Because I'm kind of lost here. You know what? I am convinced the Lord loves people, Christians, who are inquisitive. They want to know the answers to things. Because he has every answer to every question. Amen? He does. He has every question. But how many times have we had the answer because we don't need to go to God? We have all the answers. Sometimes we are in a position where we need to consult God because he has the right answer and we don't. And all this boils down to this one. Are we transformed enough? Are we transformed? Have we given our lives to Jesus Christ? Can we say beyond a shadow of a doubt that when the Lord decides to take me off the face of this earth, that I am in glory with him because I have trusted Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave? I'm a solo fide type guy. I believe in I've been transformed by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. None of my works can ever save me. Have we got to that point where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if today's my day, I am transformed enough that Christ is my Savior. My eternity is guaranteed. And how about this? Do we know enough about ourselves to know who we really are? Do we know enough about ourselves? You know, so often, it's so easy for us, for people. Oh, we can pick the other person apart, can't we? This guy or this gal, let me tell you all about them. They're this and they're that and they're this and they're that. And so often we bring up the bad things about them. Oh, they're this and they're the negative things. Have we ever tried looking at ourselves and figured out what we are? What we are? Because maybe instead of that other person needing change, oh Lord, I wish you would just change that other person in my life. Maybe the Lord wants to change you. Maybe the Lord wants to change you. Maybe we need to look inward. Well, Lord, maybe if I was a little bit different, maybe that other person would be a little bit different also. So do we know enough about ourselves? I think I've gone through them all. Coward. Are you a coward? I have written here, are you a coward? Are we a coward? Am I a coward? When the heat is on, when the battle gets tough, and the persecution is really right there, what are we cowards? Do we back? I never knew him. The Lord? Oh, I'm a Christian, yeah. I'm a Christian, but, you know, I'm a Christian. But, yeah. And we deny. We deny, just like Peter. We deny knowing Christ. Can we say this? Lord, for the next 5 minutes, I know I'm going in, I know I'm going to be with these people, and I know that they're not believers. And I'm only going to be with them for 5 minutes. So for 5 minutes, Lord, I'm going to pretend like I just don't know you. Is that okay? And then when I leave, then I'll come back and we'll be best friends forever again, okay? But for now, I'm just going to kind of put you on the back burner. So do we get cowardly like that sometimes? So we've gone through them all. Now let's get to the next one. There's two more characteristics about Peter that I would like to cover this morning. And first, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 14, verse 72. Let me find my place here real quick. 14:72. It says this. Let's put it up there. He was remorseful enough. Verse 72, Mark 14:72. Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And what did Peter do? It says that he went out and he did what? He wept. He wept. He wept. Mark says that he went out and he wept. Matthew includes a very important adverb in front of wept. It says he went out and wept how? Who knows? Bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. I honestly believe that there is a difference between weeping and weeping bitterly. Sometimes people weep and sometimes they're just crocodile tears. And maybe you've watched these programs on TV where people are trying to fake their way through whatever it might be, and they have crocodile tears. But sometimes people weep bitterly. I believe weeping bitterly really is a sign of deep remorse and deep regret. I honestly do. So let's say this. Peter was remorseful enough to weep bitterly over the fact that he just got done denying Jesus three times. So let me ask. You don't have to, just answer this to yourself. Have you ever wept bitterly over Jesus? Have you ever wept bitterly over Jesus? Because, you know, you should have done this. You should have said this. Because this is the Christian thing to do. This is the right thing to do. This is what the Bible says I ought to do. By golly, you find yourself over here. And sometimes you just get to the point where you just get so remorseful. And you just spend a little bit of time and you go in a corner, or you get on your knees, or you do whatever you're going to do, and you just weep bitterly. I'll be honest with you. I've wept bitterly many a time. And I believe there is a time, or there's times in our walks as Christians, where we need to do that. We need to be extremely remorseful because we have let our Savior down, just like Peter did. He denied him three times. Our words and our actions and our sins and our thoughts and all this other stuff that sometimes we need to know enough about ourselves to just get down on our knees and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. And be remorseful about that. A time of true confession. Do we have this characteristic of Peter? And one more, and this is from the Gospel of John. Let me get there. It's the very end of John, John chapter 21. And this is actually the picture that I have in your bulletin. And it's going to say this. Peter was childlike enough. I'm going to read verses 4 and 7. The very last chapter of the Gospel of John. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you're going to find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. He jumped into the water. I honestly believe there's a time in the life of every Christian when we need to put aside our pride, put aside our impetuousness, our brashness, our outspokenness, our inquisitiveness, our volatility, and even put aside ourselves. And folks, sometimes we just need to jump into the water and just go swimming as fast as we possibly can to be with our Savior, because we know we've tried this and we've tried this and we've tried this and we've tried this and we've tried this, and we know that there's only one real solution, and that's Jesus. And sometimes here's the second episode where Peter has to get out of the boat, and this time he doesn't need to walk on water. He says, "You know what, Lord and Savior, Jesus, I'm going to swim right to you." Sometimes we just need to get out of the boat with a childlike mentality and just say, "You know what? There's no better place I'd like to be than with my Savior. So what was Peter like? Well, there's a whole bunch of words up there for you. He was certainly childlike enough to jump into the water so he could get to Jesus first. It's almost like a game. These other guys, they might want to be with Jesus, but guess who's going to get there first? "I am," says Peter. He knew who he was, and Peter knew who he depended on. He knew where he could find the truth. He knew who would provide. He knew who he could trust, and he wanted to make sure that he got there first. Look at all those words. I think there's a little bit of that in each and every one of us in here. And we could probably figure out who that is for ourselves. But I am so glad that there's someone like Peter in the Bible, because he wasn't perfect. He didn't do it right all the time. But he did some things right sometimes. We're just like Peter. We're going to do something we don't hardly ever do. I'm going to have you repeat after me, okay? Three words, just like me, okay? I'm going to say something, and then we'll all repeat, just like me. You know, it's good that there's someone like Peter in the Bible, someone who is brash, just like me, someone who is proud, just like me, someone who can be outspoken, just like me, someone who just might be inquisitive, just like me. Someone who sometimes can be a coward, just like me. Someone who can also be volatile, just like me. Someone who is faithful, just like me. Someone who has been transformed, just like me. Someone who is impetuous, just like me. Someone who can be remorseful, just like me. And Peter had a heart like a child, and you know what? Having a heart like a child can be just like me. Wow. You know, you don't have to be perfect to have your name written in the Bible. I'm sure glad his name was in there. And you know, well, God, if you can use Peter, you can use someone just like me. And I'm here and I'm standing in front of you this morning saying this. If he can use anybody, good gracious, look who your pastor is. A person just like Peter. And if he can use me, he can use any one of us. He can use people just like us. Let's pray.